Until last year, if you had driven through the east side of Detroit, you would have seen something looming on the landscape. The last remaining towers of the Brewster Douglas housing project. The city demolished those Douglas towers in 2014, but those tall buildings were part of a housing development that was the first federally funded housing project for African Americans in the nation.
What?
When?
Why?
I am curious.
In our Am I Curious project, you ask us a question and we find the answer. For this story, a listener who used to drive by those Douglas Towers wondered what it was like growing up inside of them. So Michigan Radio's Kyle Norris decided to find out. But first, she has to take us back in time.
It's Detroit in the 1910s and 1920s. The auto industry is booming and picking up steam. Henry Ford offers his mind-blowing deal at the time, promising workers $5 a day for a full day's work. And lots of people are flooding into Detroit. In 1910, there are under 500,000 people living in the city. That number triples by 1930 to more than 1.5 million residents. Housing is becoming scarce. And it was an even bigger problem if you were Black. At that time, many people were migrating from the South to Detroit, and Blacks were only allowed to live in one part of the city, on the east side, known as Black Bottom. In the early 1900s, that area is what we would call today a slum.
It kind of looked like an old Western B-movie.
That's historian Ken Coleman.
Dwellings made out of wood, inadequate plumbing. To be sure, it was land that farmers had built in the previous century and at that time had become 40 and 50 and 60 years old.
Federal and local leaders realized they had to make some safe and affordable housing for Black residents.
The Brewster Homes become the first federally funded housing project for African Americans in the nation. So part of it is the FDR New Deal. Part of it is the city of Detroit's new housing commission, which was formed in 1933 to address slum clearance in the city. And so it was really government coming together to build the Brewsters.
First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt was a special guest at the groundbreaking ceremony. 700 units were built in the form of 2 to 3 story townhouses. The Brewster homes opened in 1938, and they were filled with working class families. But the housing projects were part of a bigger neighborhood. There was the Brewster Douglas Rec Center that local kids loved. It's where Joe Lewis learned to box. And then a few blocks over, you had Hastings Street, the main drag, which was destroyed in the 1950s to put in I-75 and I-375. But back in the day, it was a major thoroughfare.
By the 1930s and 40s, a lot of African-American-owned businesses were lined along Hastings Street. And if you went over 3 or 4 more streets, was a bustling entertainment, a Black community called Paradise Valley.
Where famous musicians like Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and Ella Fitzgerald performed. John Lee Hooker lived in the neighborhood. He actually worked at a factory, and he played gigs in Paradise Valley. In fact, one of his first big hits was about walking down Hastings Street.
I heard everybody talking about the Henry Swain Club. I said I'd drop in there that night. And when I got there...
Lots of talented musicians and athletes came from the neighborhood. Joe Lewis, Diana Ross, and other Motown musicians. And the neighborhood also had business people, journalists, and civic and religious leaders. Historian Ken Coleman says during that time and place, people truly looked out for each other.
Because the guy down the street cared so much about his neighbor's kids. He might be a doctor, he might be a preacher, he might be a foundry worker at the Ford Motor Company, but everybody knew everybody. And I think that sort of fostered the idea that you can be great. There's going to be a time when we can move out of this community. You can live anywhere you want, whether it be Boston Edison or West Bloomfield.
And that sentiment of looking out for each other was exactly what former residents told me about over and over again.
It was just like family there. People were nice. Different. The whole attitudes in the projects were like solid. Everybody looked out for each other.
We'll talk with former residents of Brewster Douglas tomorrow. For Stateside, I'm Kyle Norris, Michigan Radio News.